Shakalaka ho, shakalaka hey, money news is on the way.
Here's the latest financial news from the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
And here's the man who can deliver it expertly, live and direct from Bloomberg. It's Jeff Bellinger. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Ken. How you doing?
I'm doing well, but apparently our meat suppliers are still running below normal. Where's the beef?
Well, the United States has not been able to fully replenish its meat supplies. As of last month, the amount of pork and beef in American freezers remained close to a multi-year low. This, according to the Department of Agriculture. At this point, the supermarkets appear to be well-stocked, but surging exports and production disruptions have prevented the normal seasonal recovery in the stockpiles.
Wow. So I better buy some steaks tonight. JIC, right?
Beef supplies are only down about 1.5% from a year ago, but pork stockpiles are really getting hit. They're down 22% from 2019.
Right. Scratch that. I'm going to get some pork chops. That's what I'm going to stop and get.
And pork bellies sliced into bacon, they're down 39% from last year. So there's some numbers for you.
Good news for the pigs, though. Facebook may have to deal with an antitrust suit. They're already facing censorship charges from the Republicans this week. What's this antitrust suit all about?
Well, sources tell Bloomberg that officials are close to a final decision on whether to formally accuse the social network of using its dominance to harm competition. Federal Trade Commission staffers are said to be in favor of bringing a case against Facebook. The FTC could decide whether to proceed with charges in the next couple of weeks.
And what's this mess Walmart's in with opioid? What's that? I read a little bit about it, but I didn't see a whole lot about it.
Right. Well, Walmart's not really in a mess at this point. It wants to be sure it stays in this position. It's being proactive in trying to avoid becoming a defendant in a lawsuit over the opioid crisis. The giant retailer has filed a preemptive lawsuit against the federal government, arguing that the chain should not be scapegoated by the Justice Department or the Drug Enforcement Administration. Walmart says the agency's failed to effectively address the public health crisis over opioids.
Well, now we got, by my calculations, an hour and 19 minutes before that bell rings out where you are. Yeah. What are we looking at on this Friday?
Yeah, futures have been steady at modestly higher levels pretty much all morning. S&P futures are up 10 points now. NASDAQ futures are up 23. And the Dow futures are up 93. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back. 8:11, Ken Brew for Mike McConnell. Glad you are with us, because if you weren't here, I'd just be some guy sitting in a room babbling to himself. And why do I have to leave home to do that? Oh, it could be a big week for cinema, and whenever it's a big weekend for cinema, we like to bring in Kevin Carr, fatguysatthemovies.com. Kevin, how are you on this glorious Friday?
I'm doing well. I would be babbling in a room by myself if I wasn't talking to you.
So there you go. Two people that have found each other in the din of the early morning. Synchronic, this sci-fi film that is out right now. It's going to be a theatrical release. Hey, how about that? That's great. This is kind of interesting. It's got Jamie Dornan in the lead, and it's a movie you're going to be able to go to a theater and watch. What's it all about?
That's right. It's a theatrical exclusive. It would have come out on a normal year as well, and sometimes it would have been kind of lost in the shuffle of all the big studio releases, but now that we don't have the huge ones, the smaller releases can be of interest if you want to make it out to the theaters. This movie's about two medics in Louisiana, down in New Orleans, played by Jamie Dornan and Anthony Mackie, and they have discovered that there's this new street drug that is killing people in very bizarre ways, and that there's some sort of metaphysical connection to the street drug that might involve, you know, getting unstuck in time. So to use a term from Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah.
And the story follows mainly Anthony Mackie's character trying to help out his friend, but while he finds out that he has a cancer diagnosis that also allows him to access the drugs. So he has this, he's able to dabble in it himself. Now this is it has that science fiction element to it. It's getting some great reviews. I like the science fiction angle to it. I did not like the characters. And so you do kind of have to slag through the characters for the first half of the movie to get to the really good stuff, which is the interesting things with what the drug does. But like I said, That don't take necessarily my word for it, because there are a lot of people who seem to really enjoy the film.
Yeah, Mackey is an interesting character, and New Orleans happens to be his hometown, so he was on his own turf down there. So,
oh, nice! Yeah. And it's showing up in a lot of movies I've seen recently. I think that's it's for where the productions were earlier this year, probably.
Yeah. Well, we have Borat subsequent movie film, and it's Sacha Baron Cohen. I'm not a big Sacha Baron Cohen fan. In fact, I'm not a fan at all. But there are a lot of people that are, and I'm guessing this plays off the same character that we saw a couple of years ago when he said he wasn't going to do a sequel.
Yes, and more than a couple of years ago. It was 14 years ago since the first Borat movie came out. And this movie brings him back as the same character. Of course, he has to, when he travels to America, he has to go into disguise because everyone recognizes him as Borat. And the basic story is him being taken out of the gulag from how bad his last movie was for Kazakhstan. And they send him back to America to try and bribe the government into getting Kazakhstan into good graces. Along the way, his daughter smuggles herself into, well, let's call it his luggage. And he's then dealing with her. And most of the movie is what you'd expect from a Borat film. You know, it's them going to different places, being outrageous at times, pushing norms, doing crazy things. And some of the stuff, especially with sort of the average person that they run into, is sort of a revelation of, you know, maybe uncomfortable or unpleasantnesses underneath the surface that we may not want to admit we all have. And it's very uncomfortable. It's raunchy. It has outrageous scenes. Personally, I'm a big fan, so I thought it was a scream, probably easily the funniest movie of the year.
Yeah, this is the one that I guess Rudy Giuliani was in a. They pranked him in a room, and he's like trying to undo his pants or something. I don't know. I mean, I mean, I guess you got to have an appreciation for that, and you do, and I don't, and that what makes the world go round. Anyway, it's on Amazon Prime. On HBO Max, The Witches. Now, I'm really interested in this because they've got some really good actors in this. Anne Hathaway, Stanley Tucci's in this. Kristen Chenoweth lends her voice to this. I believe Chris Rock lends his voice to this. This is pretty cool. It's I think it's set in the Deep South. Back in maybe the late 50s, but fill in the blanks here if you would.
Yeah, this one, it's a Roald Dahl story, and it was made into a movie back in 1990 with Angelica Houston as this lead witch. And it's a bit of a cult classic, so they've remade it, and instead of being in England, they put it in the South in Alabama in 1968. But it tells essentially the same story about this kid that travels to a hotel with his grandmother. And speaking of a great cast, Octavia Spencer plays a grandmother.
She is fantastic.
Brings a level of heart to the movie that really does the trick.
Yeah.
And the kid discovers there's this this coven of witches that are there wanting to wipe out all the children of the world. And he and his friends have to try and stop her. But Anne Hathaway plays that role very much like Angelica Houston. Chews the scenery. Seems to really enjoy playing the over-the-top character. It's absurd and silly, but it also has, like I said, it has a lot of heart. It's directed by Robert Zemeckis, but he doesn't get overly distracted with the technology and the video tricks. He tells the charming little story that Roald Dahl put in front of us. And I have to say, I was very impressed, and a lot of it's because of such a great cast it has.
Yeah, this was another film that was supposed to be out in movie theaters, but got yanked because of COVID. But it's on HBO Max now. I can't wait to see it.
I have heard that it's going to be doing limited theatrical runs next week.
Oh,
so
okay.
You may get a chance to see it in the theaters. But, yeah, it's available on HBO Max right now.
Right now. Well, listen, I hope you get to see every single film you want to see this weekend, Kevin. And if you can't, there's always next weekend, right?
I will do my darndest.
Kevin Carr, batguys@themovies.com. We'll talk next week. How about that?
All right, thank you.
All righty. It's coming up on 818. 818, Ken Brew for Mike McConnell. Let's check out some traffic.
from the UC Health Traffic.
Wait a minute, I didn't even introduce you yet. I was so enthralled with the sound of your engine, I was distracted.
It was at a dramatic pause?
It was.
Okay, well, then my apology. I thought maybe you were asleep at the wheel there.
No, it was a pregnant pause, but I can't have children anymore.
Oh, well, that's probably a good thing. You're too old for that.
Here is Jason Earhart. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Ken. Pretty good flow of traffic. Typical Friday morning, things moving along fairly well. 75 north looking good as you make your way through the Laughlin, split up to 275. You're coming southbound on 71, Fieldsertle, all the way down to Reagan. You're wide open. Things were a little slow south 75 at the Reagan interchange. Once you get south of that, you're good. And just the one accident right now, Central Parkway approaching the Western Hills Viaduct. From the UC Health Traffic Center and Preferred Cancer Care loves better outcomes. Schedule your annual screening with UC Health by calling them at 475-8000. I'm Jason Earhart on News Radio 700 WLW.
Afternoon rain could be a wet night for high school football. 77 will be our high, but then that front comes through and the temperatures go down. Scattered showers tonight, low 45. Sunshine tomorrow. Tomorrow looks pretty good, actually. Sunshine at 56. Sunday, okay. Cloudy, high 60. We're at 60 right now. Tri-State's official weather station. News Radio 700 WLW. In a moment, the debate. Did you watch the debate last night? Did you get anything out of it? Did it change your mind? People want to know who won, who lost. Well, who did? I'll open the phone line, 749-7000, 1-800, the big one. #700 on AT&T. Did it change your mind? Or did your mind need changing? We'll talk about that next. 700 WLW.
It's
8:22, coming up on 8:23, News Radio 700 WLW. So maybe like you, I watched Joe Biden and Donald Trump in their second and final debate. Should have been three. There weren't. We all know why. And I'm not sure it moved the needle. I really don't. People were saying Trump needed a knockout. He didn't get one. People were saying that Biden had to have an absolute gaffe. Well, he had several. But I don't know. I mean, 50 million people have already voted, if you think about that. That's an inordinate number. And there's a line of thinking that a great number of those who have already voted are Democrats, and that Republicans vote either on the day of election or in person. Now, again, I'm sure there are metrics that exist for that, but it sounds anecdotal to me. But watching last night, I think the one good thing that came out was that, and the moderator did it. Now, the last moderator, Chris Wallace, was terrible. The moderator for the vice president debate was not much better. And we all know about Steve Scully. He was disgraced and was going to be replaced anyway for that second debate if it happened. But the moderator last night was good. I thought she interrupted Trump a lot. That seems to be the playbook with all of these reporters at the White House is to interrupt. He allows it, so as long as he's allowing it, I guess you keep interrupting the guy. There were some presidents that would not allow it, but he does. I guess he likes the give and take. But I thought she did a really good job, and she went there. She went there with the Hunter Biden story. There wasn't a news organization other than the New York Post or Fox News that would raise this. It has become a major national story over the last 24 hours. But the ABC would not raise it. George Stephanopoulos in his town hall a week ago didn't even mention it. She went there last night and brought a major news story that should have been addressed by every single news organization in this country. And I commend her for doing that. Whether or not you're a Biden supporter or not, you really have to have, as a reporter, intellectual curiosity. And just seeing how that story was developing, if you didn't address it, where is your intellectual curiosity? Or was that something you had to check at the door because your employer wouldn't let you do it? So I commend her for doing that last night. Biden did not have a good answer for it. Tried to, you know, say it was a smear and all that. He said, I never took 1 cent. Well, we'll find out. The computer allegedly is in the hands of the FBI. But did you get swayed at all last night by what you saw in the debate? Let's go to the phones. Here now is Frank in Hamilton. Frank, you're on the air, and you go right ahead.
Yes, I was disappointed in the a part where they didn't have any talk about the Second Amendment and where Joe Biden's going to take that out. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that,
he can't do that. He can't drive and pick his nose at the same time. I know. I've seen him. Jeanette is on a cell. Jeanette, you're on the air, and you go right ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I watched the debate last night, and I do feel it went better than the first. However, you know, I still don't understand how they can be as disrespectful and constantly interrupting. You know, I know Joe Biden had some points, but a lot of his responses to things were, you know, just basic, vague rhetoric, in my opinion. You know, Trump tried to give the statistics, and I'm sure the fact checkers are going to be all over that. But in my opinion, I think Donald Trump did a better job. At least he maintained his composure and was not as rude as he has been.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's an incredible president, but I think he needs to learn how to control his demeanor at times.
Yeah, no, Jeanette, and I don't think many would disagree with you. I don't think anyone would disagree with you at all. He sometimes is his own worst enemy with these tweets in his tongue. I just don't know if it moved the needle. I don't. And they didn't get into court packing either. Second Amendment, court packing, didn't get into it. But I was happy that the Biden story was at least addressed. It has to now be addressed, you would think, or all credibility would go out the window. It now has to be addressed by other news outlets like ABC, like NBC. The woman worked for NBC, if I'm not mistaken, and like CBS. So we'll see where it goes. But we'll see. I don't believe the polls are accurate. I don't. Never did. Never thought they were in 16. Never thought they were when Mitt Romney was up in 2012, because that mechanism is just outdated. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a very interesting next 11 days. It's no lie there. We'll see if it moved the needle at all when some polls in the wake of this come out, if you believe them. 828 News Radio, 700 WLW.
Some people like a fried chicken breast, but I like news that helps me invest. Here it comes, the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
You got to love those intros we come up with, Jeff. I'm just telling you, you get more production value at this station than anywhere else.
And sometimes those rhymes make me a little nervous.
Yeah, I know. You and me both, and the people that own the license. A couple of notable companies posted quarterly results this morning. What do we hear?
Well, we heard from American Express. Their numbers fell short of Wall Street forecast. The company's cost-cutting program faltered as Amex switched priorities to try to attract more customers. Expenses did decline some just not as much as the company predicted. Amex shares are lower pre-market. And Bloomin' Brands, the parent of the Outback, Carrabba's, and Bonefish restaurant chains, posted a loss for the latest quarter. Mm. Revenue declined, but not as much as feared, so shares of Bloomin' Brands are higher pre-market.
All right. We were talking earlier in the morning, everything old is new and beneficial again for Mattel, huh? Back to the future.
Mattel shares soared after hours. The toy maker's third quarter results handily topped expectations. Families were buying more playthings to keep children amused during lockdowns. And Barbie dolls and Hot Wheels were the big sellers at Mattel. Mattel's revenue was up 10% year over year.
Those things were, well, I won't tell you how old I am, but the kids, my kids loved both of that stuff. But anyway, good for Mattel. It's been around for a long time. The FDA approved a remdesivir as a COVID-19 treatment. Remdesivir, is that what they gave the president? Is that what he got?
It is. Yes, he received that during his treatment at Walter Reed, and Gilead Sciences' antiviral therapy has won Food and Drug Administration approval as a coronavirus treatment. The FDA approval now allows Gilead to market the drug that way and also discuss the benefits with doctors, nurses, and patients. The company says the drug was in short supply at the start of the pandemic, but it has ramped up production and it's now widely available in hospitals.
Now, the bell rings here soon. What are we looking at?
still a modestly higher start if everything goes as the futures suggest. S&P futures are up 12, NASDAQ futures are up 35, and the Dow futures are up 94 points this hour. Have a great weekend. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, Jeff, there you go. You're a hardworking man. You need to take a week off. I think you need to take a week off. Well, you know, the news is just bad all over, right? I mean, it's just terrible. And I don't know if you want to escape it. I don't know if you can escape it. But here's the deal. You can. It's available for you if Twitter and Facebook and cable news and election cycles and all of that is just getting you down. Where do you go to get away from it? Ah, you come right here. You come right here. Standing by is Samantha Buckley Hewison. She's got a brand new book out. It has a letter missing from the title. I won't even attempt to say what that title is. I'm going to let her do it because it's a great book and a great way for you to escape just what's going on and deal with a little bit more than what you've been able to deal with in maybe the last 6 to 9 months. So let's bring her on in, Samantha Buckley Hewison, who has got this book. I'm going to let her deal with this. Samantha, how are you on this glorious Friday?
I am really good. Thanks so much.
Oh, you sound like you're having a good day.
Title.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you sound like you're having a good day.
I am.
Yeah. So the title of your book is what? I want to make sure I got this right. I'm not missing a letter.
Well, it's Unstuck Yourself, The Guide to Designing a Life You Love, or as the title has the asterisk in it, you know, it could be something a little bit more risque than unstuck, but that's the premise of the book, you bet.
Well, we all leave out a letter once or twice in our lives anyway, right?
We better,
right. All right, so look, I mean, it's all around us. We're in the middle of an election cycle. People are mad at each other to begin with. There's all the kinds of other things going on, COVID and social unrest and people out of work and no stimulus package and this and that. And after a while, if you watch this stuff, you want to gouge your eyeballs out. Yet we're attracted to it seems, as humans, like flies to a light. Why is this so?
You know, because, first of all, most of us have never had this much chaos all at once. And we're all locked up now around the world. So what do we have to, we are looking at our devices. We are looking at the news. And it's a bit addicting, as sick as that sounds.
Oh, it is sick. Oh, trust me, it's sick. It's anything that is habitual is sick. And you can just see it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything except look at humans and their behavior. And invariably, if you go to a restaurant or you go to a coffee shop or you go anywhere, people, even if they're with a group of people, they have their phones out and they're scrolling through their phones as they're trying to carry on a conversation. And it's like my first reaction is how rude. Second of all, what's so interesting on that phone that it can't wait?
Well, I mean, that comes down to just learning our manners again. You know, we come from an era where we had to go find a phone booth to let somebody know we would be late or things like that. So it's just going to be a matter of retraining our society that human beings are a little bit more important or a lot more important than whatever that text or that beep or alert is. And, you know, as far as people being addicted and stressed out and mad, you were mentioning it. I had a week last week where my clients, it seems they all hit the same place at the same time of, I can't believe it. I have to detach. I'm so mad right now. Or I'm so frustrated. Or why are people like this?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And there is a breaking point for all of us. It's different, I think, for all of us. But I think there's a common thread here, and that is, if you can't find happiness in life, seek why you're not finding that happiness. And I really think it goes back to these devices, and we just can't stand it when anybody is having a better life than we are. And we see it on Twitter, and we see it on Facebook, and you pick the social medium. It looks like everybody's doing great on these mediums. And then all of a sudden, you look at yourself and say, well, what's wrong with me? Well, there's nothing wrong with you. Those people are lying.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fear of missing out going on, too. This has a lot to do with that addiction to the news feeds. And how can I appear to be smarter and funnier and more, you know, however they get their hit? Sometimes, though, people are going to try and get their hit by being outrageous, their, you know, the emotional hit, by, yeah. or by telling their sad story. You know, there's lots of ways to feed this addiction.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there is. There are. And you're right about that. And I spent 47 years in local television news, and it was my lifeblood. And that's how I put food on the table. That's what helped raise my family. And I now say you don't have to watch the news. Just pay attention. Just, you know, glance every so often at either a timeline that has a news feed that you trust, or look up once or twice while the television may be on. But stop being addicted to it. And I think if you do that, I think you'll still know what's going on, but you won't be consumed by it. You can get on with your life. I've lived by that now since I left the television news business. Do you think that's the right thing to do?
Absolutely. I mean, there's one thing of us saying, okay, just don't do that. And the other thing is, the truth be known, is we need to employ some steps. We have to take some valid actions. You know, one of the actions that I tell people is, listen, be in the noticing, you know, be in the noticing and ask yourself, okay, what's this? I'm stressed out. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm, you know, judging, all those types of things. And then you have to listen for the answer. What is this? What's going on here? And you're probably going to get the answer, well, you're watching too much news, or you're letting other people guide you, or you're, you know, avoiding you, whatever that might be. You have to decide that you're going to stay plugged into the problem or unplugged from the problem. And it doesn't mean you can't watch the news. It doesn't mean that you can't watch factual news or listen to factual news. And you said it, you know, maybe you change who you're plugging into.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that I do, and I did for myself, because I was going right down that rabbit hole with everybody else,
yeah,
is I said, okay, I'm going to calendarize. And I'm going to decide, which, by the way, is such a great word. It's not try. I'm going to decide where I'm going to get my news from and how I'm going to participate and the state of mind I will be in when I decide to turn on the news. Big change for me.
Huge change for me. I bet. Well, I tell you to have a good day, but it sounds like you're in the middle of one. But thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a beautiful day yourself.
Yeah. Name of the book is it's Unstuck Yourself, but she gets kind of, you know, cute with it with an asterisk. The Guide to Designing a Life You Love. Honestly, pay attention to the news. You know, check it out. Don't get consumed by it. Drive you crazy. Doesn't matter where I are. Political, anything. Just, you know what's going on. Just don't get overwhelmed by it. Key to success, you can thank me. Or maybe you can thank Jason Earhart. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Ken. I don't get thanked very often.
Well, you're welcome.
Yes, that's very good. You're in pretty good shape this morning. It's been pretty quiet, as Ken mentioned earlier. The Friday mornings, not too bad. 75 north, looking good through the cut in the hill. Southbound 75, Union Center down to Sharon Road, no problem. I'm looking at I-71 right now. You've got the green light. No major issues for you. No accidents or slowdowns from the UC Health Traffic Center. And Preferred Cancer Care, loves better outcomes. Schedule your annual cancer screening with UC Health. Give them a call at 513-475-8000. Jason Earhart on News Radio 700 WLW.
Partly cloudy now, but stand by rain this afternoon and into tonight. 77 before things start to fall down. Yes, 77 for the high. Scattered showers tonight, 45. Sunshine tomorrow, 56. And just cloudy and all right. No, you know, 60. That's not bad on Sunday. 61 at the Tri-State Severe Weather Station. News Radio 700 WLW. Ah, now the man that has more hops than a D1 power forward. Someone who has better grain than any deck that the people that installed decks could put in. Yes, I speak of Beer Dave. How are you today, Beer Dave? How are you there, Beer Dave? I should put you on the air to ask you that question. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ken. How are you?
I'm okay. You haven't started to drink yet, have you?
Coffee,
good. Okay. Grainworks. They're up to some good tricks here for Halloween. Luke, I am your logger. which looks really interesting. And what's this old ghost milk stout? That looks really tantalizing with a little chocolate and caramel.
Yeah, this is modeled after an Irish ale recipe that Brian, their brewer, was able to come across. And milk stout means that it has a little bit of lactose in it, the milk sugars, so that it gives it almost a chocolate milk kind of a taste to it. But it's 7.8%. I'm thinking this one's probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah, you don't want to give it to your infant if it has, in addition to being lactose intolerant, it also has a lot of ABV.
It'll put the cat out all night.
I've been to 50 West a couple of times here in the last few weeks. Good stuff, good products, very nice people there. They've got their pumpkin carving day coming up tomorrow from noon until 6, right?
Yeah, correct. So for $10 a person, you get a pumpkin and all the carving accoutrements, and you get to show your inner pumpkin carving scenario. And if you win, you get yours pictured on their Instagram. And why not? You might be able to drink a beer or two while you're doing that.
So tickets are $10. You get a pumpkin. It's not like BYOP, right?
Right. The tickets cover one pumpkin and a carving kit.
So, but you got to do it yourself, which that's okay. You ought to do it yourself. Those the people at 50 West are too busy pouring beers. It's Ohio Pint Day. I like this. There are a lot of craft breweries around here. It's one of the things that I think is very unique about Cincinnati. But next Tuesday is Ohio Pint Day. What is that?
So this is a fundraiser for the Ohio Craft Brewers Association, and every pint glass that they sell, a dollar of it goes to their cause. And it's a really cool glass. It's got sort of a phoenix-looking cardinal, the state bird, raising up out of the center of the glass. And there's quite a few local breweries that are going to be involved with this on Tuesday.
Yeah, including Little Miami Brewing, which I don't know if you're aware of this, Beer Dave, but I have my own. I soon will have my own beer there, named after me, Vanilla Stout.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, you're going to have to check that out. I can get you a table there. Just call me. Just call me.
You and I need to meet and have a beer. We haven't done that yet.
We haven't done that yet. We need to have that bonding. Kentucky crafted beers infused with Kentucky proud products on tap for October the 28th. It's an annual deal. What is this all about?
So a number of the breweries all around the bluegrass state have partnered with a lot of the local farmers and their Kentucky Department of Agriculture, and they've blended in a number of various things grown in Kentucky and added it to their beers. And these beers will all get released on the 28th, and they'll be served in a commemorative glass with Kentucky Proud on one side and Kentucky Guild of Brewers logo, the KGB, on the other side.
You got things grown in Kentucky like what, Beer Dave?
Oh, we've got things growing you can have malt now grown here. There's hops now grown here. Lavender.
Good.
All kinds of
like farm to table, like farm to table.
Correct.
And then, finally, the highly anticipated brewery inside local landmark is about to open, and the local landmark is Cartridge Brewing. Where is the local landmark, though?
So this is there along the Loveland Trail. This is that old Peter's Cartridge Factory that if you've ever ridden along the trail, cool old building. Well, they're going to open starting next Saturday on Halloween and run through Sunday with a grand opening. And you need to go online and get reservations because they're making sure everything stays social distanced. But this looks like this is going to be an awesome place. I'm hoping to get a chance to see it before next Friday to discuss it.
Yeah.
It's a great
location right there on the Loveland Bike Trail. All right, Beer Dave, I hope all your beers have the proper head. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Ken. Have a good week.
Up next is Scott Sloan, and he'll dive deeply into last night's debate with expert analysis. I'll see you tomorrow at high noon right here on the home of your Cincinnati Bengals, 700 WLW.